Welcome to the Back to the Good Life podcast. My name's Nikki.
And my name's Mr. G.
And we are going to be talking to you today about how we are working with a really small garden. Our garden is tiny, isn't it?
It's pretty small. I wouldn't say it's the smallest, but we're definitely limited for space.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult because we want to get as much out of it as possible, but then trying to plan for what we've got for the seasons coming up and trying to plan with the space we've got, especially as we've not got a lot of growing space, is really tricky. So what are your thoughts on tiny gardens?
Well, it's definitely something to work around. I mean, I don't think that we're incapable of it. It's just a case of being smart and, you know, tiny gardens aren't less productive. Well, gardens aren't definitely a small one, but I don't think that they can be any less productive than a bigger garden. It's just planting smart.
Yeah.
It's
I've been trying to do square foot gardening. Have you heard of square foot gardening?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely something that you've brought to my attention anyway.
I think it appeals to my inner sense of desire for calm and everything in squares. But no, it's great because you learn about how many different plants you can plant within a square foot and then like how much space each one needs. And then you can literally square foot out your garden. I mean, it's not for everyone and it's kind of slightly along the permaculture kind of side because it's all companion planting. But at the same score.
Companion planting has been going for a long time now. Way back in centuries.
We did different plants, different things. Like I found out that, and this is going to be news to no one listening to this podcast, but I found out that if you plant, I think it's carrots and onions next to each other, the onions repel the carrot fly. I could be completely wrong about that because it was last year I was reading about this, but that's why I've been kind of organizing the thing around it. So yeah, you've got a little space in our garden, haven't you?
It is. It's a lovely little space. I'm hoping to be able to bring in some pollinators to the garden, just to help to be able to move things along. And it's good for the bees that we've got out there anyway. I'd love to be able to get some more bees.
Yeah, we've got some bees coming in, but we haven't had many. I think we've got like solitary bees. Might have to see if we can get some bee houses.
That would be a good idea.
Yeah, we'll contact Simon from Brighton B&B. He's really cool. he makes homemade bee houses, basically. They look like insect houses and they're for individual bees. Solitary bees. That's the word, isn't it? Yeah, and he makes them. And they look really cool and he paints them in all different colours. They look beautiful. I think we should get a few for the garden.
That'd be good. And it would help with this wild garden patch that I'm intending on being able to get flourishing this year.
What are you planting in your wildflower garden this year? Do you know?
No, not yet. I mean, it's definitely, it's going to be a lot of pollinating plants. Hopefully something that we can have that self seeds as well, because it'd be nice to be able to leave it as its own sort of ecosystem.
Yeah, definitely. It's always easier if you can kind of leave it to do its own thing.
Yeah.
So planning for the year ahead. What have you got planned for our garden? Or is it a surprise?
We'll have to wait and see.
Well, I need to know. So planning for the year ahead. I've got a few spreadsheets.
You love your spreadsheets.
I love a good spreadsheet. I've actually like got the garden all organised out in the spreadsheet. I've got it all with planting times and succession planting. So we can hopefully try and get as much food out of the garden. Because I don't understand flowers. I plant food.
Well, again, one sits with the other, really. And that's why, well, I think it's important that we try and have the mix of both.
Mm.
Maybe plant a few marigolds in between to stop the slugs from attacking the...
Oh, those bloody slugs. Nematodes, that's what I'm going to do.
I've heard you say about nematodes. It's
apparently they're the gardener's biological weapon. They're like little, like microscopic worms. And I was reading this on the internet. So whether or not it's true, we will find out. But you basically water them into the garden and then they kind of grow in the soil. and then they infect the slug and eat them from the inside out, which, given my hatred for slugs, really appeals to me.
That's quite an ingenious weapon against
a foe
that is definitely a ravenous animal or insect.
Well, you saw how much destruction they did last year, and no matter how many times I went out there with my torch and my pair of scissors slug hunting.
I don't think the people need to know that.
Slug hunting was quite scary. Did quite a lot of slug hunting last year. But no, it was like, we lost quite a lot of plants.
We did.
Things are just evil. So, I don't want to watch them eat a marigold.
They are ravenous.
They are. They eat so much. And every time I plant something green, every time the lights go down, it's just, there's slugs all over it. I swear, I turn the lights on and those slugs hide. And then they come back again, nibbling through my plants. It's really annoying. I don't like it. But I'm hoping these nematodes, they'll go in and then they'll kill the slugs on the inside, and I won't have any slug problems for however long these things live and last.
Yeah, that was my next question to you, is how long, what's their lifespan, these nematodes?
I don't know. So I don't know much about them, so I've never tried them before, but I'm going to give them a try anyway. I think from one place I was reading, they basically just reproduce and they're good to go. Whereas another place I was reading said they needed to redo it, I think it was every 3 months. So, but given how evil those slugs are, even if I have to do it every 3 months, I'm happy.
It's worth a try.
It is worth a try. And it can get rid of other pests in the garden as well, which we won't discuss at the moment. We've got another pest issue, but it can help with that as well. So we'll give nematodes a go. Yeah.
So with the lack of space that we have, how are we going to overcome this? I mean, it's definitely not going to be growing on the ground growing.
No. Well, that, and we've got the dog as well, Dilly. So,
I mean, anything
our problem
that...
is anything that we plant, like root vegetable-wise, in pots, he will water with his own special water, which will mean you don't want to eat that plant anymore.
Yeah, it's not the most appealing idea.
No, not really. But we can plant things that grow up, because that's all right.
So you're more on about more vertical sort of growing.
Yeah, we could give vertical growing a go. Have you seen those? They're amazing.
It's quite a clever way of being able to utilise the space.
Yeah. What I was thinking for us, you can get these, like, they look a bit like curtains, but, like, actually, they look a bit like shoe holders, because they've got, like, things that come out,
yeah.
And you can plant, like, one plant in each section. And to be fair, like, it doesn't seem like a lot, but then you think to yourself, well, I wouldn't have been using that space anyway.
No, I mean,
all it is just gained space. And we want to put the troughs right at the top of the fences, because if we can fill them up with wildflowers, and we can get the pollinators in.
Just
hopefully the dog won't be barking at the fleas. The dog won't be barking at the bees. Not the fleas. He doesn't have fleas. But no, hopefully.
No, that sounds a good idea. It is utilising a dead space for all intents and purposes.
Mm. Well, with our garden, we've got one side that gets a lot of sunshine. It's lovely. Yet we've got another side that is pretty much in darkness, not in darkness, but doesn't get as much sun all the way through. So it's also about kind of organising which plants go where. So
which
the ones
going to be
that,
suited to the better conditions.
Yeah, the ones that prefer the shade can go on the left-hand side, and the ones that really like the sunshine go on the right-hand side. That's why I put the tomato plants last year on that side.
Yeah.
And then they all died of blight.
I've heard that quite a few people had issues with blight for their tomatoes last year.
I know in our neighbourhood, all of our neighbours that used Asda's compost, not calling out Asda's compost completely, it might be fine. I don't know. Hopefully. Everyone that used Asda's compost got blight. Every single one of us. I was so upset.
There must have been something in there. The batch for the year, so hopefully.
I'm hoping this year that their compost will be a bit better. I would prefer it if we could make our own compost, but unfortunately that's not really an option we've got right now.
At that point at the moment.
No, not really. We're just, again, haven't got the space. And I've got, well, we've got the compost bin, but that's for garden waste only, because otherwise it encourages, well, calls them RATs. Rodents.
Your friends.
I hate them. I hate rats. Absolutely hate rats. But the least, the less said about rats, the better. But I don't want to, I don't want to encourage rats in at all.
No, so. When we get the opportunity, we'll have to venture into seeing what else we can do with it. I've heard wormeries are quite good, but I think that takes a little bit of time,
and then you get the juice off of it. Yeah. You can water the plant too. Is it called it worm pee?
I'm not sure. I don't know the ins and outs of it.
Pretty sure it's got a specific name, but we've always nicknamed it worm pee in my house. Probably quite descriptive.
There's a possibility there.
Yeah, we could use the smaller scraps, like smaller vegetable scraps and that. The stuff that we're not dehydrating anyway.
For the time being, I think it's probably just a case of composting the things that we know are safe.
Yeah, there is that. Composting away from the RATs. However, definitely when we move to somewhere that's got some more land, I want to get a full composting system set up.
So you've got yourself a warm pile that's just degrading itself.
Yeah. One of my friends on Instagram, actually, the other day, I'm so sorry, I can't remember who it was, but check out our Instagram. They're following us. They actually bought a compost thermometer and put a picture of it up. And there was like a thing of where the needle should be and how hot it would be, and kind of stab it in the compost. And if it's hot enough, then it can biodegrade all sorts of things.
Yeah, meats as well. This is a...
Yeah, meats and...
I have heard that they spontaneously combust over certain periods, but...
Yeah, you do have to be careful with that, especially if it's dry. That's what happened on the decking.
Yes.
It wasn't quite the compost. It didn't quite spontaneously combust, but the sun came through the puddle was a lens, and it set the compost alight and almost burned the house down. And you wouldn't have believed, I literally wouldn't have believed it if I'd not seen it happen. And I couldn't even believe it when I was watching it happen. And I was like, I need to get a watering can and put the fire out. And
let's not practice that again, please.
Yeah, let's not. Well, we're not going to do that now, because we've got the bungee cords that are holding the greenhouses up against the wall. That's going to hopefully help to not have the greenhouse fall down and fill up with water and act as a lens to set the deck in alight. It was just all the perfect things in the right place, and it was scary.
Well, we're still all right, and the decking still survived. So,
just. Wow. Although I'm hoping in the spring we can kind of get rid of that decking. That's one of my big aims for the spring.
Another surface to be able to play about with and see if we can add any more gardening area.
Mm. Or a fire pit.
Maybe a fire pit.
And a little sofa. Some lights.
Now, we're not supposed to be getting on to the home comforts of a garden.
Well, I think your garden has to be comfortable as well as...
Functional.
At the moment, it's very functional. It's kind of sort of pretty, but it's very functional. And I would quite like it to be somewhere that's comfortable and functional and pretty. Is that too much to ask?
We have a lot of work ahead of us.
Yes. Yeah, we do. We do have a lot of work ahead of us. But it's good. We like hard work in the house, don't we?
Yeah, well, it's rewarding.
It is rewarding. But I'm hoping we've got to decide, actually, with that decking. It's quite a good topic to talk about, because we have to decide, do we take the decking up and put like just full-on concrete down? We could use those concrete pattern things and make it look half decent. Or do we put patio paving slabs down?
Whichever works the most. They're going to be the more economical, really.
Well, it's economical. We've also got to think about the eco footprint of it as well. I don't know which one is better yet, because I've just not done any research on it, whether or not paving slabs or concrete is going to be better. It's going to be more environmentally friendly.
We've got a little bit of time to do a bit of research. And
yeah, hopefully.
We'll update you on that.
Maybe we'll film it.
Oh, that's an idea.
Yeah, that's an idea. Who knows? Watch this space. But no, we've got a really interestingly shaped garden, though, because we've got our back garden, which is tiny. And then we've got the tiny little walkway down the side that's got the huge shed in it.
Yeah, as I said.
And then we've got that yard bit that's basically just completely full of rubbish at the moment. It's actually full of my parents' houseplants.
So, prepping for this year ahead,
mm-hmm.
What are we looking at? What are we looking at doing? Because we really need to start now to be able to get things ready to produce mm-hmm. a bit of growth at least.
We've had the garlics and onions. They've been growing over November and December. I've literally just planted them out today. The garlics, not the onions. The onions are still in the big greenhouse. And when I say big greenhouse, I mean quite a small greenhouse, but takes up most of the space. So it's a big greenhouse.
Work with what we've got.
We've got, yeah, there is that. Yeah, it is tiny. Oh, maybe this will be our year to get an allotment.
Here's to wishing. I mean, it takes a long time. I think it's normally about a 7-year waiting list.
I'm already 2 or 3 years into it then, so maybe we've got a little basket. We'll get our small hold in before we get an allotment, I think. But no, it'd be cool if we got one. But no, we've got, we've got a few things that are already in. It's about knowing how long things take to grow as well, like leeks, for example. I honestly thought we were done with leeks. I was just like, they didn't grow at all. And then suddenly, like those 87 leeks that I now have planted in the garden started growing. And now some of them are looking at a right edible
quite,
size
quite
now.
Quite chunky, yeah.
Yeah, there's at least one that's definitely looking very leek-like.
We'll leave that for a little longer. Let's hope that it plumps up a little bit more.
We're going to have one roasted leek between us and it'll be the best leek we've ever had.
Well, all that effort put into it by you, darling.
Well, both of us. You did the digging. Mainly because I was like, I'm going to do no dig. And you're like, you need to dig the garden.
It needs to be done sometimes.
Sometimes.
It aerates the soil.
Especially with ours, it's basically clay.
We've been putting quite a bit of effort into trying to sort that out by putting on topsoil and... Mm-hmm. Some mulch just to be able to break down into it so that it's a little bit more nutrients there instead of the clay.
Yeah.
It does cause a bit of issue when it comes to more rooted vegetables.
Yeah, the clay does cause a problem. I've put a layer of leaf mulch over it last year. This year the council cut down all the trees before they dropped their leaf, which was a bit of a pain, really, because the year before, they all blew into my garden. And I was like, great, I just kind of popped them up onto the beds, and that was great. We went from there. But yeah, this year, the council decided to cut down all the trees before they dropped all their leaves, which meant that I hardly got any. So I've got to go to your parents and steal all of the leaves out of their garden.
Yeah, they do have quite a big oak out there, so you'll have plenty.
Tomorrow when I see your mum. I'll nip in there and steal all of the leaves. Like, don't mind me, just putting all the leaves in the bag. I'll be gone now, don't mind me.
I'll be using it on my garden.
I can take your stepdad some leeks. He likes leeks, he's Welsh.
Well, there is that.
Yeah, he's got leeks. Well, I've got 87, so I need someone
to take
some.
You need to be able to palm them off to somebody.
Yeah, someone needs to take them off of my hands. Well, at the moment, some of them look a bit more like spring onions than they do leeks, but, you know.
Well, yeah, we'll get there.
They're homegrown.
They still have a little while left, I think, mm-hmm. in their growing season.
Yeah. I don't know how long. Basically, I'm just leaving them in there until they fatten up, or I get sick and tired of seeing them and I've decided I want that space.
Be able to plant something new.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping this year to plant some more carrots because at least one of the carrots grew last year.
It's a very good start.
The same with the parsnips, at least one of them grew. But apparently, again, according to my friends on Instagram, I didn't plant them soon enough. I planted them far too late. That's why they didn't
mature. Right.
That's why we didn't have homegrown parsnips for Christmas dinner. We had Aldi's parsnips, Wonky Veg parsnips.
Well, Wonky Veg is always good. It's using what the normal shop wouldn't really sell off.
Well, that's why we get our odd box.
Yeah.
Absolutely love that box, really do. But no, being able to use that is great because, well, growing stuff in our garden, I've really seen that it just doesn't. Where am I going with that? Growing stuff in our garden, I've just really seen that vegetables do not come up looking as perfect as we were led to believe.
Yeah. I mean, back before we had the supermarkets, really, it was a case of you either have it grown or it comes from the local greengrocers, and they were never perfectly standardised.
No. Well, that's why I try and buy Bonky Veg, or I get the odd box, which works really well. I feel like we're helping the garden, the growers then, but that's not helping us gardeners.
Our growing, yeah.
We're pretty good at growing wonky veg and ugly veg. We're not so good at growing the rest of the veg.
It'll get there. I mean, we're still in the learning process, so.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? We're learning as we go, which I think is really important.
It's going to take some time. We're going to have a lot of fails before we have any really decent sort of cropping, I think.
So you're saying that we're not going to be self-sufficient for a while yet?
Not for the next year or so, at least.
At least.
At least.
I mean, and if my parsnips are anything to go by, a few years.
I didn't like to say that.
They were a bit on the small side. But no.
I mean, sprouts, I suppose we could do. Don't you like sprouts?
I'm not the world's biggest fan of sprouts. Mind you, we've got that bag of sprouts that needs to be eaten. So either you can eat them or I'll dehydrate them and put them in greens powder. I'm not eating them. They're horrible.
We'll give sprout growing a skip then, I think.
No, we can grow one sprout stalk for you and you can eat them all. I'll tell you what, I'll do you a deal. You can have the sprouts. I'll have the peas.
I think you had all the peas last year. That was quite a good crop. I mean, we grew French beans as well.
Yeah, French beans went on forever, didn't they?
They were quite prolific.
We had French beans with everything. Months. Yeah. Imagine if we had chickens, we could have like French bean and egg omelette, tart, flan. No, not flan. What's the other one they call it? Quiche, that's it. Every day. We'd need it every day, to be honest, with the amount of green beans that we had last year.
Yeah, we did have quite a few.
There was a few, but they were nice though. They tasted lovely. I've blanched some of them and put them in a freezer.
Again, it's good to be able to store and make sure that we've got some supply of at least a little bit of our own fruit and veg, well, more so veg. But
yeah, I don't know. We've got strawberry plants that grew no strawberries at all last year, but. Yeah, actually, no, that's a lie. They did grow, I think, about 3 strawberries and then died within about 12 hours. Because the night before, I was like, oh, that strawberry's going to be ready. We'll eat that tomorrow. And then literally woke up and it was dead. And I was like, oh, maybe we won't eat it today then.
But we're definitely on our way of learning what we can produce in quite an abundance.
Absolutely.
Broad beans weren't such a hit last year.
I've been rubbish at broad beans. I've got some growing at the moment. Broad bean plants are about 6 inches tall at the moment. But whether or not they produce any broad beans is a different thing. But so we've got a few options.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to be an interesting year for our planting. And so hopefully we'll get some more pollinators in. That should help the situation. Mm-hmm.
I really hope so. That we can help them out as well.
It's nice to have bees. As a child, we used to keep bees.
Oh.
And it was always a case of don't stand in front of the hives because they're quite territorial when it comes to it.
And quite angry.
Yeah. One of my family members found out walking in front of it as a child and was stung in the head a couple of times. Not so fun for them. I'm sure the bees didn't appreciate it either, but
probably not, no. There's an old folklore custom as well that you have to go and tell the bees all the gossip. So it's the go tell the bees That's the custom.
Yeah.
You have to basically go down to the beehives and tell them all the gossip. So if like someone's got married or had a baby or anything like that, you have to go and tell the bees. Otherwise, you have bad luck for the rest of the year.
And it's good for keeping in contact with them.
What, the bees?
Yeah. I mean, they like the conversation.
You're a bit of a bee talker, are you?
I'm not at the moment.
Give it a few years. You will be when we have our hives.
They're quite friendly by themselves. I'm even in colonies. I'm not quite sure what the term of swarms. That's the word that I was looking for.
Not quite sure I want to be chased by a bee swarm now.
No, but you get them appear in the gardens after they've moved from one location to another. Sometimes it's just a hive getting too big and they split off. But hopefully this year we'll get ourselves some bee insect.
Yeah, we'll have to get some bee houses hides from Simon.
That'd be really cool. A good experiment.
Mm, it will be. We'll do that then. Shall we wrap it up today then?
I think we probably should.
We will do. Cool. Thank you very much for joining us on the Back to the Good Life podcast. Please check us out on our website, backtothegoodlife.com, and find us on Instagram, back.tothegoodlife, and across everywhere else. And we will be happy to connect with you. We will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Goodbye from her. Goodbye from me.